D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Pleased to be joined. Do we have Jonathan Hutton? We do. Pleased to be joined. Pleased to be boined. I don't know what that means. Pleased to be joined by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, how are you?
I'm great, guys. Hope you're doing well.
We are. And we wanted to save this topic. We're going to talk about it after you leave our show today. But we wanted to start the conversation with you. This report from, it was sort of a tag team effort by Pablo Torre and Mike Florio about the potential of collusion among NFL owners, from Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, who summarizes it thusly, quote, an arbitrator dismissed a case filed by the NFL Players Association in 2022, alleging the NFL and teams improperly colluded to prevent certain players from receiving fully guaranteed contracts, even while finding that the league's labor negotiating unit encouraged teams to reduce guaranteed money in players' contracts. That smells a whole heck of a lot like collusion to me. It centers around the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed contract, and it focuses on three quarterbacks specifically: Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson. What do you make of this story, and how apparently the NFL, I mean, because the arbitrator ruled in the NFL's favor, but what do you make of this whole story?
Well, first off, there absolutely is the owners were they were pissed off at Jimmy Haslam. Let's just put it that way, about the contract for Deshaun Watson. There's no doubt about that. I instead of naming the quarterbacks, okay, Russell Wilson. Let's go back to this. Kyler Murray, and who was the third?
Lamar Jackson.
Okay, Lamar's going to count in my response here, but to me, it really comes down to a few other quarterbacks, not Kyler Murray and not Russell Wilson. It comes down to Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert. If those three demanded the fully guaranteed money and said, we're not going to play, we're out, we're going to collude together, that we're going to get fully guaranteed money because, I mean, we are the face of the franchise, we're the face of the league. What would the owners do at that point? They would have to give the money to those top quarterbacks. Now I know Russell Wilson ends up getting paid handsomely for what happened in Denver, and Kyler Murray's getting a restructure and gets the money that he wants, but he's on a different tier than the level that we saw. The quarterbacks are continuing to become the highest paid player in the NFL, but what they're not getting is the fully guaranteed money and the true value. I mean, you could argue Patrick Mahomes is underpaid as it is right now. For his value to not just the team, but the league. I should throw in Josh Allen as well with what I'm saying. There was a top tier group of quarterbacks that were up for extensions, and they took a ton of money, but they didn't take the fully guaranteed money. They're filthy rich. They're wealthy, but they're not Major League Baseball or the NBA. And the only way that's going to turn is if the quarterbacks band together and do that. But those guys are now under contract for a certain amount of time, and it'll be a while before we see a group like that come together where their contracts are expiring around the same time, about a year within each other. It that doesn't happen often. We saw a batch of them happen all at once about a year and a half ago.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, because we saw this many years ago, I believe, Willie, you may know this, in the 80s, where they formed this quarterback club.
And it was all to circumvent,
you know, the power within the NFL, because if your quarterbacks aren't on board, that's right. Majority of your power right there. And I see it the same way. These quarterbacks will never be on board with this. Never. Why? Because they are a separate entity from everybody else. And they will find a way to not get quarterbacks on board with guaranteed contracts, like fully guaranteed contracts, because they understand, like you said, if you can get the quarterbacks all together that says, you know what, hey, you know, because a lot of these quarterbacks outside of Patrick Mahomes are signing 4-year deals, 5-year deals, where they know they can re-up and they're still in the prime of their career. Well, if that's the case, then the only way this is going to change, because right now no one believes Roger Goodell. He's lost all credibility now that this stuff has come out. Okay? Sure. So the only way that the players, and I fought the players, they're a bunch of weak-ass people. I'm telling you that right now. The players, a bunch of weak-ass people right now, okay? Because the only way they can get what they want is that they get the quarterbacks involved. But the quarterbacks ain't going to get involved because they are making the bulk of the money.
And the
owners have found a way to keep the quarterbacks out the conversation. Because remember a few years ago, I believe, when Tom Brady said something during the lockout, one of those quarterbacks said something during the lockout. And it became big news. And then after that, you didn't hear anything else about it. Because they understand, if we can keep the quarterback separate from the players, we're good. And that's what they've been able to do. And it's going to continue to be that way.
Well, and hey, Lamar Jackson came out and said he wanted fully guaranteed money. You know, he was representing himself.
But he was by himself.
He was mocked
exactly
publicly.
They made Lamar seem like a bad person. He was bad for asking for guaranteed money.
In the moment, I'm thinking, this is how you raise the bar if you're coming up for the next CBA. And it's not every quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's a top tier of about 7 to 8 guys. And then there's a real drop-off. I mean, there were over 50 quarterbacks that played in the league last year alone. And knowing that, and the drop-off between the starter and the backup across the board, there's a significant dip where you don't. I mean, that's the reason why you have the television money that you have. It starts with the QBs. You're right, Mace. We didn't see it, and we're not going to see it if this group didn't do it. And Lamar was actually trying to push that forward based on what Deshaun Watson had. He was representing himself, and doing so, he was speaking publicly about what he was trying to get. And we saw what ended up happening. They more or less said, we'll call your bluff, see if another team will offer you or match you or what we're going to give you. Because that was the threat, was the franchise tag.
And
that didn't happen. The other teams didn't bite on that because, well, of what you're speaking of, Mace. All the owners are trying to keep it low where they can. The money's always going to go up. But the quarterbacks, if they keep them happy, the rest of the position, like the running backs holding a Zoom call, wanting more money, screw that. You got to have the quarterbacks get more money first.
Because I think at that point,
that's it.
Lamar had proven that he was the player that Baltimore drafted him and thought he would be once they developed him. At that point, he was that guy.
He was MVP.
Yeah, he was MVP. So my thing was, they wanted to make sure that he was the guy that could do it, but they wanted to make sure he couldn't. So when he started to come out about this, well, Lamar don't have an agent. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's greedy. Right. He's not thinking about team. They threw all these bad things at him to make it seem like from a national standpoint that, you know, that he was just a greedy player that wanted money and didn't think about the team when trying to build. And when in actuality, he was worth every bit that he was asking for.
And let's face it, if Deshaun Watson can get fully guaranteed money, those dudes can do it. I mean, we saw an owner give it to Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. So, and the chase was on. Atlanta was, Arthur Blank was in on with the chase for Watson. So it was New Orleans. Jimmy Haslam wasn't the only owner, but that put it over the top.
Yeah, because you can't tell me that this is a quarterback-driven league. And when a quarterback of Lamar caliber is about to hit the market, you can't tell me that if it wasn't collusion or something being thrown out, that every team that needed a quarterback wouldn't be first in line to give him a fully guarantee, knowing that the quarterback is the most essential position in the game.
I don't know if it's every team, but it's at least one team, Mace. That's all it
takes. That's all it takes.
Right? It just takes one owner, and that's what we saw with the Browns. So, yeah, I mean, there's another owner. There's another team that could use Lamar Jackson. And given the money, I mean, the money's always huge in the moment. 5 years down the road, they're going to super exceed that number to begin with. So, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the money that's going out to the players, the owners are making more than half, more than double of what the players are getting as a total on their team, on their roster, just on the TV contracts alone. Mm-hmm. But with that in mind, it starts with the QBs. They're taking a ton of money. I'm not trying to like argue that they're not getting paid.
Oh,
well.
Yeah, they are. Get, absolutely.
But it's nothing. It's that you have to have them champion the rest of the players in the union. And when you're not doing that as a collective group, when they had the opportunity with the young guys that were going into contract number two, it's just not going to happen because it takes more than one individual to do it. We saw that with Watson.
I tell you, the only way it happens that I see, I got two for you real quick before I pass it to Willie, is that last year's group of quarterbacks, those seven guys that got drafted, they're all going to be up right around the same time. The only way it happens is if they're successful, you know, before the contract is up. If they're successful, and then all of them come together and say, listen, we want guaranteed contracts.
Well, they have to live up to the expectations.
And that's what I'm saying. They have to live up to the expectations because there has the last time we were talking about a class this good was what, 85? With Marino and all those guys.
Yeah, 83. Marino at Elway.
Yeah, all those guys. That's the last time we really talked about a group of guys that were that good. Now we talk about a group of guys that could potentially be that good with last year's group of guys. So, again, they all will want a contract right around the same time. The only way it changes is that all those guys get together as Goodell tried to get the owners to get together and say, hey, listen, this is probably the best opportunity we have to get guaranteed contracts. So let's all bond, you know, get together and discuss how we proceed in this.
Hey, it's clearly easier said than done. It's not, I'm not trying to argue.
Oh, absolutely.
They didn't try to get it. I'm sure they tried to get it, but I mean, it's not like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning didn't get this, you know? So, I mean, they got paid well, but they didn't get what the fully guaranteed that we saw with Watson. But the opportunity was there with Lamar Jackson, who spoke it into existence. He wanted to do that. And the players didn't even back that. The rest of the quarterbacks didn't jump on board with that. And again, it's a get-yours type of league. Individually, are you thinking about the future of the league? Or are you thinking about what you're getting right now? You're thinking about what you're getting right now and setting up your family. I understand that. But until that changes, it's still going to be the weakest union of the professional sports that we say is the top tier in the U.S. because the CBA is highly leaning towards the owners in this case when the other leagues are not.
Another aspect of this story that I find very interesting is the media coverage of it. I am the oldest guy in the conversation here, and I can remember in the 80s, the baseball owners got nailed for collusion, for basically colluding and conspiring not to sign other people's free agents because free agency was moving at a real high rate, and they got busted, and they had to pay millions and millions of dollars in damages to the players. To me, when I read this email from Roger Goodell, and this is the beauty of email, it's in there, right? You can't say, I was misquoted. That's not what I said in my email.
John Gruden tried that. It didn't work for him.
I know. But he said, agreed. He said, the tip of the market is most of the dollars, and we'll see. Wait to see how it falls. It will be too late to counter. Agree with raising a big concern that this will erode a key aspect of our CBA that resisted guaranteed money, except as clubs determine on their own. When I see that, to me, that is clear evidence that they colluded. Yeah. And Roger Goodell is supposed to be, I know he works for the owners, but you're supposed to be at least somewhat objective and let the owners do what they want to do and give some hope that the players can fend for themselves and do it. He takes a side here and he basically encourages his lawyer to tell the owners, do not sign guaranteed contracts. And that's collusion. Yep. So here's where I'm going with this. Back in the 80s, it was a pretty big story. But this kind of story, A, you've got a lot of partners like ESPN and the NFL.
Yes.
They're not
Everyone.
Excited about really taking shots at the NFL, even though to me they are dead to rights here. And also, it's not a sexy story that shows like ours and podcasts and the way we do media now with hot takes and everything. This is a nuanced story that, you know, it might be boring to a large percentage of the audience. Therefore, I think this helps the NFL get away with this kind of stuff.
Well, you know what, Willie? I totally agree with that. What it takes, though, for us collectively as a media to push it is the headline makers have to push it.
Yes.
Think about that.
Good point.
If the top quarterbacks, let's just go back to them. Everyone in town right now is covering tight end U. It's the place to be. It's a tight end camp, and it's all the talk. Everyone wanted to go to the concert last night. If the quarterbacks want to band together and say this is blatant, this has happened to us, then it becomes a story. Then we start to follow it, because they're speaking out on behalf of the players when they weren't doing that and haven't done that as a collective group. I'm saying, in quite some time. So. Unless that's going to happen, it's just going to go under the radar because it's just a bunch of court decision stuff right now. It takes more right. than that. Like Caitlin Clark, we're all talking Caitlin Clark. It's more than a stat sheet, though, that we're talking about with her. You know, there's some drama. There's some rival.
Yes.
There's a lot going on there. You have to have the other end of this where the quarterbacks are speaking out on behalf of the players and behalf of them, because that's just what Goodell is talking about. It takes that aspect to go public and push it. And then you've got, you've got quite the jet fuel to the story once you have that, because then you go to the owners for a rebuttal.
Hutton, before we let you go, I thought that you and Chad were having a really interesting conversation last week on Hot Mic, discussing the Stanley Cup final. The ratings for the Stanley Cup final were not great. And you wondered aloud, does hockey have an America problem? I would love for you to expand your thoughts on that, because I thought the conversation you had with Chad was quite interesting.
Well, so we were discussing, does America have a hockey problem? Does hockey have an America problem? And so just from the view.
Is that look, America I, or I, America?
America. 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 Where I mean, quite frankly, though, the teams that are winning are America, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
And
30
and
years
I
and counting.
That's part of it. But, it's not like the fan base is weak where they're winning championships. It's just not going to happen. I pointed out, though, look, going into the Cup final, going into the NBA finals, based on who's matched up, you're automatically going to cut off half of the rating just from the view, knowing that you have Canada on one side of it, because you're viewing the Canadian ratings for the NHL there. I mean, I do think from a marketing standpoint, having it on the quote-unquote cable versus the network, that plays a huge factor.
No question.
It still does. It still does. So you have to point that out too. But knowing that it was Willie, was it on TNT last year?
No, it was on ABC.
It was on ABC
last year. ABC.
Okay. So the ratings
makes
were
a huge
for the same matchup last year.
Yeah, yeah, big difference, and that's what you're talking about.
That's why
the network is a big
difference. Yeah, that's why. But I do feel that it's got to be more than just about the game. There's got to be some drama there. It doesn't have to be manufactured. It's already there. Just push it out to us. Let us know that you've got a little trash talk going on, and really push into that, because from where we were on NBA All-Star Weekend, where you had the U.S. against Canada and they stole the weekend away from the NBA.
Yes.
To now discussing what's going on here. I think you've got to get that grip on the tension that goes into this and tell the story of a team that's looking to go back to back. I view it like that. I think it's more of hockey in America than it is America in hockey. Personally,
I do think that
I don't know where you guys come down on that, but I lean that way.
I do think that there is a story out there. I think I know how the story is going to end. But if ESPN wants to dive into hockey and drum up some of that drama.
Sure.
Lean into the Connor McDavid free agent decision. Like, I know that he is
the decision. Part two.
It could be the decision later. Part two. But he is eligible for a contract extension next week. He's 1 year out from free agency. More than likely he's going to end up in Edmonton. But the idea of a player of McDavid's caliber still floating out there technically, right? Like that is the type of thing that could drum up the general interest when a superstar player has a decision to make, a la LeBron James, it does drum up a lot of interest.
And what they don't have, is Stephen A. Smith, who is the most popular talking head for the NBA. Like, he's the biggest star of the NBA Finals, if you want to just look at it. I mean, he was making more headlines and was discussed more than the players
by playing
in the NBA.
Solitaire. Like, that
play
that,
solitaire
that
and talking about Halliburton. he was discussed more than some of the players, including the MVP. Hockey doesn't have that, but that plays a factor because he's on First Take and he's not going to talk hockey. So I say all that to mean, like, it has to have that little extra edge. It doesn't have to be USA against Canada. It can't manufacture that because that's organic. What I'm saying, you have to get into what is already there and tell us the story and remind us that the game's on, because you're at a disadvantage based on where you're playing.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday on D Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Great stuff as always, Hutton. We'll catch up next week.
Yep. Have a great rest of the week, guys.
You as well. Jonathan Hutton on the program. We actually do have a technical note. If you have a Verizon phone, there must be some sort of Verizon outage. So if you're trying to call us on a Verizon phone, you may not be able to get through. So sorry, Verizon users. But if you don't have Verizon, give us a call, 615-737-1025. You can also text us. I think Verizon users can also text us, 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Join Robbie and Rex Road as the program broadcasts live at the Duncan Grand reopening in Hermitage at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard this Friday. Starting at 8 a.m., the first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days, plus 1025 The Game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville concert.
The Cardinals were going to hold firm and not give Kyler Murray a fully guaranteed contract. And his agent tried, but ultimately they didn't get one. And that's fine. But the most compelling aspect of that, Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, reaches out to Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, and we'll post something at PFT with the full exchange. Text messages that came into evidence. Spanos congratulated Bidwell on getting the deal done. Spanos said this will help us with our quarterback. In other words, because you didn't give Kyler Murray a fully guaranteed contract, because your deal is more like the pre-Deshaun Watson deals than the Deshaun Watson contract, we're in a better position to fend off an effort by Justin Herbert's camp to get a fully guaranteed contract. See, that's what this was about. When Deshaun Watson does his deal, is this a sea change or is it an aberration? The NFL went to work to make it an aberration, and they had to hold the rope through those three negotiations, Murray, Wilson, and Jackson. And then by the time those three quarterbacks don't get fully guaranteed contract, okay, threat neutralized.
That was Mike Florio discussing the findings in an arbitration case. The full report was published the other day by Pablo Torre and Mike Florio. They sort of tag-teamed on this, I think. But for those who missed it, the full ruling, and this is from the website Defector, which is, I think, run by a lot of the old Deadspin folks. The full ruling is primarily concerned with a March 2022 meeting between NFL owners and the NFL Management Council. Remember the NFL Management Council. They are an important part of this. This meeting occurred just a few weeks after Deshaun Watson signed an unprecedented 5-year, $230 million contract with the Cleveland Browns that was fully guaranteed. The NFLPA argued that during this meeting, the owners conspired to ensure that Watson's contract would be the last of its kind, and that evidence of this conspiracy can be found in part by the fact that quarterbacks Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson were not offered fully guaranteed deals upon entering free agency after Watson's deal was signed. So the NFL, the arbitration case, the arbiter ruled in favor of the NFL. So the arbiter did not punish the NFL for this, but there is evidence within that ruling that although maybe the owners didn't engage in full-blown collusion, there was certainly open discussion about circumventing the situation.
They colluded.
I know.
Either you did or you didn't.
I'm reading the fine print.
Right. And I am puzzled by the judges or, you know, the is it the arbiter you said?
Yeah, arbitrator, arbiter.
Yeah, the person who is making
the
call here. I'm puzzled by the gray area that he leaves there because it looks pretty clear cut to me. And I referenced the 80s in baseball where it was a very drawn-out court case. It took a couple years to prove, but they nailed the owners, the players did. And you had a very strong players association. The DeMora Smith, who I can remember interviewing a few times when he was taking over, really nice guy, and he tried as hard as he could to lead the players, but he just did not have the clout and the backing of the players to really go at the owners with teeth on this. And I wonder what kind of factor that was when this was all getting hashed out. But I don't see how they didn't nail the owners for this. This looks very clear cut, and this probably needs to be a bigger discussion, even though, like I said last, it's not a real sexy story. It's an important story.
Here's more, Derek, from Defector. The arbitrator found that the NFLMC, the management council, did more than dispassionately relay some facts about guaranteed contracts to the owners during this meeting, the meeting in question. Quote, the NFLMC's message was not purely educational and informational, as the NFL contends. It unmistakably encouraged the owners to reduce the trend of increasing player guarantees. And yet, the arbitrator ultimately ruled that NFL owners did not engage in collusion by attending that meeting. Several owners successfully made such an argument to the arbitrator. New York Giants owner John Mara explained that the NFLMC merely informs and educates owners so that they can discuss the issues with their GMs or cap managers and make the best decisions for their own franchises. In other words, presence at the meeting did not constitute acquiescence of the NFLMC's message. Decisions are made once owners talk with club personnel and gather more information about their individual situations. In short, attendance at the owner session does not mean that the clubs gave adherence to the scheme.
That is gray area in a big way, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I see the argument. It's like we're all in a room and Chase comes in here and says, guys, I really don't think you – I think you guys should let's just pick something arbitrarily. I think you guys should come in and talk baseball for 4 hours every day and talk about the Braves every day, right? And it would have to be us collectively all having like our own shows. So it would maybe be the three shows, the morning show, the midday show, the afternoon show. And I want you guys to do that. And here's why, blah, blah, blah. And we all decide, well, it's what the boss wants us to do. All right, let's do it. But are we saying he just suggested to that, or he's the, like to me the commissioner's email stamping this and saying yes, we need to stop this. We need to nip this in the bud. No guaranteed contracts. This is what our whole thing is built on.
He said
we don't want guaranteed contracts. You guys don't need to do that. Is that a suggestion or is that collusion? I would say when the commissioner is backing it, that's collusion.
He said in this email exchange with the NFL's general counsel, Roger Goodell, that is, quote, agree with raising with a big concern that this will erode a key aspect of our CBA that resisted guaranteed money except as clubs determined on their own.
Listen, it's everybody knows what it is. and they know what it is. But they will never pin down the NFL in this when it comes to this. They just won't. Because we all know that if Chase walked in his room and just planted a seed, we know what he's trying to do. If he's planting the same seed with all three shows, we know exactly what's happening. You know, because why? He's the guy that sits in the chair that makes decisions, you know? So if he says to all the shows, I think y'all need to be talking, just come in. I think y'all need to be talking more Atlanta Braves, you know, more baseball, you know. He's not telling us to do it, but he's planting a seed.
And then so we would call the morning. We'd walk away from the meeting. We'd talk to the morning show. Hey, what Braves guests do you guys have?
Exactly.
We'll talk Braves. We're colluding. We're working in concert with another club
to talk and more baseball.
And in the collective bargaining agreement, it is you cannot do that in collective bargaining. No club can work in concert with another club. That's how the baseball owners got nailed, because the commissioner at the time, Peter Ubroth, came in there and said to the owners, "You guys are a bunch of idiots. You're throwing money at players. You're overpaying free agents, and you got to chill." And he was right. Mm-hmm. There were some teams recklessly spending, which is exactly what the Haslams did with Watson, right? Yeah. That was a reckless, dumb contract that changed the market and had the players salivating. So, ooh, they just opened up a huge door for us. Mm-hmm. Let's jump through. And the players were doing it back in the 80s. And so they conspired to make a pact. If Derek Mason's a free agent for the Tigers and I'm the Angels, I can't go in there and offer you a contract. Only the Tigers can re-sign you. And that blew up the free agent market for a couple years. But, and it became very obvious by the media, like, why is nobody signing Derek? He's one of the best free agents on the market. Nobody's offering him anything? This was happening with guys like Jack Morris and Andre Dawson and Tim Raines, some of the best players. Mm-hmm. So it made no sense, and it was obvious what they were doing. And it took a couple years to prove it, but they proved it. This isn't maybe as blatant, but it's pretty clear what they were doing. Once Watson signed the guaranteed deal, there was a pact for nobody else to do that.
It had everything to do with the quarterbacks. It had nothing to do with anybody else, because we see there
But they were worried that if the quarterbacks get it, then the edge rushers are going to get it. And then the wide receivers are going to get it.
But then again, you can always hold that, but the quarterback is different from everybody else. But even with that, we still see guaranteed contracts. We see rookie contracts that are fully guaranteed. You see some three-year contracts that are really fully guaranteed. We see contracts that, you know, extend 5-6 years. 3 of the years are fully guaranteed. So it's not about necessarily guaranteeing some. It's about that upper echelon player and guaranteeing $400 million. To a quarterback that may play, you know, if he may get injured and only play or at a high level 6 of those 10 years or 5 of those 10 years. But now, like basketball, like baseball, you're stuck with the contract.
Yep, you got to pay him every dime.
You got to pay him every dime. So it had everything to do with the quarterbacks per se and not everybody else, because they know the quarterbacks drive everything. And if they get, like you said, if they get guaranteed contracts, eventually it's going to trickle down. Right. But it was all about the quarterbacks.
And the evidence, the quotes that Florio just said, that you had the Chargers and the
Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Saying, oh, hey, you're not going to give Murray the guaranteed money, right? No, I'm not doing that. Oh, good, that will help us not do it with our contracts. That's conspiring. That is collusion.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the apparent collusion. It's most likely collusion. It definitely is collusion. But the arbitrator said it wasn't collusion. But whatever. 615-737-1025. There are some more interesting details about this that we'll get into, as well as your reaction. Coming up next, get out of the summer heat for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2025 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Billy Donick, Derek Mace, and Adam Vingan here. Talking NFL. Do you smell that? I smell collusion.
What is that from?
Yeah.
I smell collusion. Did you ever watch a show on FX called The League?
No.
It was a raunchy comedy about a group of friends in Chicago who were in a fantasy football league. And one of the friends, his name was Ruxin. That was his last name. He was played by Nick Kroll. You may be familiar with Nick Kroll, the comedian. He always thought that the other members of the friend group and in the fantasy football league were conspiring against them. So he would always say, "I smell collusion."
Well, you smell it now.
So actually, you know what I was thinking? And I mentioned this to you guys during the break. My first thought goes to that scene from The Wire, and I'll have to clean it up, where Stringer Bell says, "Are you taking notes on a criminal conspiracy?" Because that's how I feel like this whole situation has been playing out. So there was a slideshow, I guess, a presentation in this meeting with the NFL Management Council. and there was a talk track corresponding with one of the slides. And it said, quote, lastly, if guarantees continue to grow in both amount and number of players, then there's a risk that they become the norm in contracts regardless of player quality. That not only has the potential to hinder roster management, but set a market standard that will be difficult to walk back. Of course, all clubs must make their own decisions.
Right.
But well, continuing these trends can handcuff a club in the future.
See, that's always been sort of the back and forth since I was in the league and a player rep. It has always been, well, if you guarantee contracts, to everybody, then you're going to have a guy that, one, quits on you, and he ain't going to want to play because he got the guaranteed money, or a guy's just going to be not a good player, and then you're going to have to hold on to that contract. That's in every sport. It happens. Things like that happen. What you're doing is betting on a guy that either has shown the ability to play the game at a high level and be consistent, or you believe will be that moving forward. So you're giving him a contract based on that, whether it's guaranteed or not. And the guy can still get that $100 million contract and it not be fully guaranteed. And he still can do all these things that they're scared that a guy with a fully guaranteed contract is going to do. I guarantee you, had you offered Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, any one of these top level guys, you gave them fully guaranteed contracts, they will continue to play the way they had been playing. Why? Because they operate different. They don't operate solely on money. Now, listen, you're going to have some guys and girls that get the bag and all of a sudden they say, I'm good. But I think more times than not, you're going to have guys that get the bag and still want to compete at a high level. So when they say, well, we're scared guys are going to get the money and quit, whether it's fully guaranteed or not, you're going to have guys that do that, and you're going to have guys that don't do it. I lean toward the side of guys not doing it. Why? Because, guys, there's pride involved. Again, you're going to have some guys that does that to get the money and then all of a sudden come up with mysterious injuries.
But isn't it much more the injury risk is what?
It's the injury risk.
And they have
injury risk.
They have the hammer. They have the power. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give up the power. Because once you give it up, you don't get it back.
And they see what's happening in basketball. They see what's happening in baseball. As far as
hockey. Hockey's got a lot of injury risk. And players have guaranteed contracts.
So when you have a guaranteed contract, it's not much. And again, I always try to see both sides of the coin. So a guy that was a former player, I still understand the business part of it. Playing a game that's so physical that if I do give you, let's say this, it's easier for me to sort of lean and say I can give the quarterbacks fully guaranteed contracts. Why? Because we protect the quarterbacks at all costs. But to say I'm gonna give a wide receiver, I'm gonna give a running back, then that's where the problem occurs,
right?
Because those guys are more susceptible to being injured.
And I would say that a lot of teams, philosophically, nobody has forced them to do that. Mm-hmm. But you should have the right, if you want to, as an individual club, if you want to sign everybody in your team to a guaranteed contract. That's your
foolish,
right.
But
it's not smart.
Exactly.
And you would, and the rest of your peers would say, "What is he doing? What is Willie doing? Signing all these guaranteed contracts? Now we got to do it, right?" Mm-hmm. That's how it works. But that's what you have to try to keep is the honesty of above board. Each team does have their own. You cannot conspire together to make philosophical things as a group. That we're not giving guaranteed contracts out. That's what happened here, I think.
Mike Florio,
in
one of his reports, said that what this ruling shows, and the point is brain fart there. Mm-hmm. The point is Florio said that this shows that NFL ownership meetings are really collusion meetings because. What this NFL Management Council does, and I've never heard of the NFL Management Council until yesterday when I was reading the story, what it sounds like is that it makes it possible for these owners to get in a room together and listen to a presentation that might as well have been titled, "Please Start Colluding, Everybody," and not expose themselves to any legal trouble. Just because Robert Kraft didn't stand up in this meeting and say, "We can never do the Deshaun Watson thing again." That was a huge mistake.
Well, let's boil it down to one specific thing that happened right in the aftermath of this, is the standoff between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, right? So do you believe, you know the Ravens organization as well as anybody. Do you think, had it not been for these meetings, that the Ravens would have ended up guaranteeing Lamar Jackson's contract?
Or do you think
they would have held the line on their own, for without the influence of the NFL Management Council?
It's tough to say from this standpoint, because the Ravens, they do take care of their players. I will say that. But also, they are very smart when it comes to contract negotiations and how they set up contracts and how they manage to keep their team, kind of like Pittsburgh, how they manage to keep their team always competitive. A lot of that has to do with signing a right veteran free agent to the right amount of money, or signing your guy who you developed to the right amount of money. So they've always, at least since I've known this franchise, they've always been good at that. So look, I think, God, it's hard because they were transitioning from GMs. They were transitioning from Ozzie, I believe, that year to DeCosta.
But it's really the owner, right?
Yeah, it's probably the owner saying,
"Look, we had this meeting.
I think Bashotti would have given him.
Let's give Lamar the money. Like he could have done that. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if in his mind was like, man, I will get absolutely barbecued by the rest of my owners if we do this. But it should be his decision, right?
I think apart from everything else, I think."
Lamar Jackson is a special player.
Exactly. Had that not happened, obviously it did, and you can call it whatever you want to call it. It was collusion.
It's documented.
I think they would have been closer to giving him eventually a guaranteed contract, maybe less years, but guaranteed contract, than, somebody saying, "Well, y'all, let's get together," and I'm just going to throw that out there. Now makes you think like, okay, as much as I want to give Lamar this guaranteed contract, I got to think about the other 31 owners in his league and what this can potentially do outside of what Haslam already did. I don't want to possibly compound that. But these owners understand that I don't have to guarantee your contract. Your contract is going to be guaranteed by your play as a quarterback. There's no position where they sign you to a 7-year deal and you're not going to get your money. There's no other position like that except the quarterback. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He signed a 10-year deal, $500 million. He's going to get all that money. He's going to get it all. And they keep redoing the contract. So he's going to get it. So in their minds is that
they kind of need a quarterback to push the envelope and say, "I'm not signing until you give me the guarantee."
But in their mind,
that could do it. That could break the dam.
In their mind, they figure the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, the Joe Burrows, the Patrick Mahomes, the Herberts, "I will sign you to a 5-year deal for $200 million. You're going to get it. I don't have to guarantee you anything. You're going to get it." But that's the only position that really has that. Because they know, listen, you're going to play for me for the next 10, 12 years. So if I give you a 5-year deal, okay, forget it. I got to pay you anyway. So it's essentially it's guaranteed, but it's not guaranteed.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on this. But coming up next, we'll get back into the Predators. We had a spicy conversation to start the show. We will revisit that coming up next as the NHL draft approaches. 2 days away, first round of the NHL draft. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.